Let's turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 11 this morning. John chapter 11. We're going to talk about the glory of God. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Lord, anoint my lips, anoint every heart that's here and those watching by Facebook to receive, Lord, what you have. Prepare the hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. John chapter 11 is the story of the death of Jesus' friend Lazarus. If you remember, Lazarus had a brother and a sister, Mary and Martha. They were very close to Jesus. Jesus would go to their home. They'd have potluck, as we call it here in Oklahoma, right? They'd fellowship and have food and fellowship together, and Lazarus became ill, deathly ill. And when Jesus heard of this, he told them that the sickness, verse 4, was not unto death, but for the glory of God. Sometimes we have events in our life that can seem tragic, and sometimes we can't always understand why God allows us to go through certain things. And sometimes we may even just blame the devil when God is wanting to bring His glory into the situation. Amen. As a child of God, we should always expect the glory of God in our lives. I mean, we really should. We read the scriptures about how much God loves us, how He's engraved us in the palm of His hand. He can't keep His eyes off of us. God loves you and me. And yet, we do have situations that happen in our lives that don't make sense. But Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, the reason why some people don't experience the glorification of the Son of God in their lives is they're too busy glorifying themselves. If you can't say amen, say ouch. It's not about me, it's not about you, and we don't always understand what it's about, and sometimes we make it about us when we have hard times, but sometimes we just need to step back and say, "Lord, why don't you just show your glory through this situation?" And when we begin to get our eyes off ourselves and want the glory of God to shine through our heartache or our pain or our trauma, then God is ready. I mean, He is ready to bring glory to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through your life. So Jesus loved Mary and Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when notice He loved them. You know, when God doesn't show up, we interpret that as God doesn't love us. Amen. Because God did not show up. Jesus did not show up when they thought He would. But we're told right at the beginning of this story that Jesus loves Martha, Jesus loves Mary, and Jesus loves Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going to go there again?" And Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if he walks in darkness, he stumbles because the light's not in him." And these things he said. After that, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to waken him." And of course, his disciples said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll get well." However, of course, Jesus spoke of his death. And they thought he was speaking of his physical taking rest. Now, in these life events that we have, we experience sometimes what I call a wilderness. It's when we pray for Jesus to show up and he doesn't. How many of you guys have ever had a wilderness in your life? We'll pray for the rest of you liars. Boy, what is it? I need to get half the church saved this morning, people. How many of you have ever had a wilderness experience in your life? Thank you, thank you. When Moses led the sheep to the backside of the desert, you might say, "Moses, There's no grass on the backside of the desert. Why are you taking them there? It's a barren land. How are the sheep going to eat? But when Moses led the sheep to the back of the wilderness, guess what? God was there, wasn't he? He appeared to him in a burning bush. And so our wilderness experiences, those times when Jesus doesn't show up when we think he should, are oftentimes those experiences in our life that cause us to begin to experience God at a new level. It's our burning bush experience. When you prayed and your prayers feel like they bounce off the ceiling. When you cry and it feels like God doesn't hear you. When it seems like you're hurting and nobody picks up the phone and calls you and you say, "Where are all my friends?" Loneliness is sometimes your best friend if it draws you close to Jesus. We need our wilderness experiences. And so, in this particular event in the life of Mary and Martha, they did not understand why Jesus waited, but he did. And so his disciples, well, I read that, and Jesus said to them, "I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there. Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Isn't that interesting? "I'm glad for your sake I didn't answer that prayer. I'm glad for your sake I didn't come to your rescue when you cried out, 'Help me.' I'm glad for your sake I waited and let you suffer a little bit." Now, you don't hear that kind of sermon preached very often, do you? That doesn't sound like something Jesus should say. Because we expect Jesus to say, "I'll always be there and I'm not going to ever let you down and I'm going to be everything you need and I'm going to always answer every prayer you ask." But notice it's for your sake. You know, we think we need this, but we really need this. We think we need these things, and what we really need is to experience the glory of God in our lives. I tell you what, the glory of God can do more in 1 minute than anything else you think you need. I don't need much of what I tell God I need. What I need is to experience the glory of God. That's what I need. Praise God. And so he tells them he's dead, and "I'm glad for your sake I wasn't there, that you may believe." It's the purpose is believing. You know, we call ourselves believers, but oftentimes, myself included, at times we don't act like we're believers. We say we believe God, we give the lip service that we believe God, but in crisis we do anything but believe God. Boy, you guys are too quiet today. I'll preach this till 3 o'clock until I get some amen. So if you want to eat chili, you guys better wake up. All right. And of course, Thomas, good old Thomas, says, "Yeah, let's all go that we may die with him." Now, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. And Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. Now, you know, sometimes Martha gets a bad rap. If you remember, Mary wanted to sit at Jesus' feet, and Martha's too busy cooking and cleaning and complaining. But on this day, it's different. I see Mary as being despondent, depressed, discouraged. Her world is shattered. Her brother is dead, and Jesus wasn't there, and she doesn't know how to process this. Have you ever had a tragedy and Jesus wasn't there? Have you ever had something happen in your life, maybe in your past, that's left you with scars that you've carried your whole life? Maybe it's abuse, maybe it's neglect, maybe it's something we won't even mention in church, and you've carried these scars your whole life. And where was Jesus when this was happening? Have you ever experienced that? And Mary is in that place. She doesn't understand how God can love her and let her go through what she's going through. But Martha goes to meet Jesus. And Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He knows everything. There's nothing hidden from Him. And so we cannot legitimately say, regarding those tragedies in our life, God, if you'd have been here, because He was. We cannot really understand why God didn't stop that person or people or thing from happening in our past. But God is omnipresent. He is there. He's Jehovah Sitkanu. I am there. And so Jesus knew what was going on. He told them plainly that Lazarus died. He purposely waited, and He purposely waited so that they could experience the glory of God. My scars from my past are my path to the glory of God. They are not my tragedy that I can't get past. They are my path to the glory of God. But she said, but even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. So now who's got the faith? Martha? All right. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Now immediately she begins to get religious. I know he'll rise again in the resurrection the last day, because I know about all that stuff. Sometimes our religion is our worst enemy. And Jesus clarifies that religion is not a place or a time. It is a person. I am the resurrection and the life. You're looking, Martha, at the resurrection. If you are in Christ, you are already raised, the Bible says, and made to sit in heavenly places. The physical resurrection is only an outward event of what has already happened. Jesus said, he that lives and believes in me will never die. He is the resurrection. I'm the resurrection and the life. He believes in me, though he may die, he will live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is challenging you and me. Do you really believe this? Are you giving me lip service, or do you really believe it? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard this, she arose quickly. That means she jumped up, right? And she came running to Jesus, and Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And then the Jews who were with him in the house and comforting her, and they saw Mary arose quickly, and they went out and followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. You know, they had these professional mourners that would just run around and cry with you to make you feel good. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. We shouldn't be flippant about people's pain. It's real. We should weep with those that weep. And so Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now this is the second time Martha said it. Now Mary said it. They both believed that Jesus could have saved him had he been there, but it was too late. You know what? Regardless of the scars you carry in your past with Jesus, it's never too late. And so, Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, and he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. You know, Jesus was all God, but he was all man. The Bible says that he is not... He is not unacquainted with our infirmity, our pain. He feels your pain. When Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to cry, Isaiah was immediately told to turn around and go back in and say, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, I will heal you. God sees our tears. God hears our pain. So he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Don't ever think that your tears go unnoticed. Don't ever think that the pain you experience goes unnoticed by Jesus. Jesus cries with you. Jesus loves you. Look at me. Jesus loves you. He cares. He feels your pain. There's never a valley that you go through that Jesus isn't there. You may not feel He's there, but He's there. Jesus loves you. And Jesus wept. And the Jews said, "See how He loved him." You could write that on your refrigerator, put it on a little one of those magnetic things. See how He loves you. Go ahead and just look at it. Jesus loves you. And that some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind and have kept this man from dying, couldn't he have?" Of course he could have. Then why didn't he? We learned at the beginning. It's for the glory of God. And then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave. It had a stone laying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." Now, in that tomb is not Lazarus who is dead. In that tomb is the tragedy of your past. In that tomb is the abuse or the neglect. In that tomb is the disappointing divorces or the death of a loved one. In that tomb is your pain. And many people don't want the stone removed from that. They don't want to look in that deep, dark cave. They say, "No, leave the stone there. I don't want to look at it. It's too painful. The stench is too bad. The scars go too deep. Don't move the stone." Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? But Jesus says you've got to move the stone to see the glory of God in the healing of those scars that you've been carrying your whole life. And so Jesus says, "Didn't I say that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Didn't I say, if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" But I don't want to move the stone, Lord. You don't know what it feels like to look back in that deep, dark pit. Didn't I say if you would move the stone, you would see the glory of God? But it hurts too bad to think about it. It hurts too bad to remember it. You don't know what He did. You don't know what she did. You don't know what I've been through. Didn't I say if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus can raise the dead and heal the scars, but you've got to move the stone. You've got to let Him in. You can't hide it. You can't bury it. You've got to let Him in to that dark place in your past, that dark place in your heart, that tomb that you hide away, those hurtful things that you've went through. And He's saying to you today, come on, just go ahead and move it. Open it up and let me in. Didn't I say, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Hallelujah. So they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted His eyes up to heaven, and He said, "Father, I thank You that You have heard me. And I know You always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that You sent me." I said it earlier, we sometimes call ourselves believers, but we give God lip service. Because when it comes to those deep, dark, painful things, we think God can't heal. I've asked Him to help me, and I've prayed over 100 times, 1,000 times over the last 20 years, 30 years, and nothing's happened. But Jesus is reminding us, God always hears His prayer. And because God the Father hears His prayer, when we come to Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Him what's going on in my life. then he can turn to the Father and I can see the glory of God in my life, the healing of God in my scars. Amen. Now, when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, Lazarus, if Jesus just raised Lazarus from the dead, then one of those, what is it called, walking dead guys would come out. Zombies, there you go. Lazarus would have been a zombie because he's got rotting flesh. And so he didn't call a zombie out. He called Lazarus out, and he not only raised him from the dead. Are you hearing me, church? He healed the scars. Those things that you've carried, he healed. The scars of your past, he healed. The pain, the despair, the things that haunt you. And Jesus is saying to you and me today, if you believe, didn't I tell you, you will see the glory of God. Can God's glory heal scars? He is in the business of healing scars today. That's my Jesus. And so he who had died came out, still bound hand and foot with grave clothes, his face wrapped. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And when the glory of God comes in our lives, when we go ahead and just allow him in the deep dark places that we have covered up and buried and denied, when we do that, he will resurrect and he will heal the scars and he will loose you from that bondage that has tormented you for so long. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to allow a little ministry to happen here this morning because I would be amiss in my responsibility if I didn't meddle a little bit. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but the Spirit of the risen Christ is here to heal some scars. Sis, will you come up and just play softly, whatever you feel appropriate. And I want us to all stand, if you could, and bow your heads as we pray. Hallelujah. O Spirit of the risen Christ, Jesus our Lord and Savior, he who knows all and sees all, who's always here, who's never left us and never forsaken us, who was even there the day, the night, that event that happened in our past, those disappointments, those failed promises, those hurts and those pains. O Lamb of God, you are here to heal this morning. And so I pray right now that you would allow people to remove the stone. Give them, Lord, the grace to remove the stone. What does that look like, Brother Roger? It looks like maybe coming forward at an altar in spite of what other people may think. And the altars are open. There are some here. Others may feel the need to come but be afraid of what others think or have other reasons, but I'm here to tell you, until you're ready to move the stone, God can't get in to those places. You don't have to come forward, but I encourage you to do that. You can make an altar of your chair. You can pray right where you're at, but you need to move the stone. You need to let Jesus in. You need to humble yourself. God resists the proud. Many times the reason the stone is there is people say, I'm strong, I can handle this. I've got over it. You may have got over it by putting a rock in front of it, but you haven't got over it unless Jesus has gotten in there and the glory of God is there to heal the scars. You haven't gotten over it. You haven't gotten over it if it still haunts your memory. You haven't gotten over it if you find yourself playing those tapes over and over again in your head. You haven't gotten over it. You haven't gotten over it if you have flashbacks that cause you to respond in ways that you shouldn't respond anymore. You haven't gotten over it. You've just put a stone in front of it and you need to take the stone away. You need to let God heal you. You need to let the glory of God come in. You need to let Him heal the scars. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to pray now. I'm going to pray God's glory, God's healing over you here. Whether you're at the altar, you're in your chair, you're standing, you're sitting, whatever it is. Remove the stone and ask Jesus. Lord, you know I've tried to do this on my own for so long. I've carried this burden so long, Lord. I've hid it. I've buried it. And I want it gone today. I want this to be the day that the glory of God heals the scars and sets me free. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the congregation to follow me in this prayer, whether you feel you need it or not. Join with me so that everybody's praying. Dear God in heaven, a little bit louder, let's try it again, everybody. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I'm moving the stone. I'm letting you in. Doesn't matter what happened. Doesn't matter whose fault it was. I know that the glory of God can heal my scars, resurrect my life, and set me free. So I invite you, Jesus, to bring your resurrection power into the deadness and the scars of my life. And by faith, I receive your healing, your power, and your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just have a little closing prayer. And thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of our service today and those on Facebook. Father, thank you today. And I pray for those on Facebook, Lord, that may have heard this message and even now are struggling, Lord. I continue to let them carry this with them over the next week and the days to come. And help us, Lord, to remember that you love us so much and that you're always there. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, don't run off. We're apparently going to have a whole lot of chili today. So.